Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bucs Nation? Welcome to today's episode of Locked On Bucs Podcast. I'm your host for today's episode, David Harrison. This episode brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low price. All the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. I am solo on today's episode. My co-host James Yarko has today off. Find him on Twitter at @JYarko_Bucs. Find me at @DHarrison82. Find everything we're writing about your Tampa Bay Buccaneers over at BucsNation.com, a part of SB Nation, or 5 days a week at WTSP.com, part of 10 Tampa Bay's coverage of your Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And then, of course, find the show at Locked On Bucs. Today, we're talking golf. We're talking roster moves, rule changes, a 2022 salary cap development. But first, we're going to kick off today's episode talking about some NFL draft regrades. The NFL draft happened, about a month ago now. And of course, everybody has always got takes. They've got opinions. They've got analysis about what these young guys are going to do on the field before we ever even see them. Some people already labeling Kyle Trask a bust, even before he ever took a snap at a Bucs rookie minicamp or an OTA. And now still some people have problems with him before he's ever put on pads. We have no idea what's going to come of Kyle Trask's career. We have no idea what's going to happen to Joe Tryon's career, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Back in 2018, we also didn't have a clue of what was going to happen to those Buccaneers newly drafted into the National Football League. But we've had some time now, three full seasons, the 2018, 19, and 20 seasons, to see what was going to come of those draft classes. And of course, like many, many people do, revisiting that draft class, evaluating what we thought about it then versus what we think about it now. Pro Football Focus did that exact exercise, PFF, for those of you who'd like to talk in shorthand. And here's basically what they did. They graded these teams back then, apparently, on scales of elite, good, above average, average, and below average. And just for noting it, the below average classes then were ranked as the Kansas City Chiefs, Detroit Lions, Minnesota Vikings, New Orleans Saints, Washington Football Team, and Houston Texans, the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Washington Football Team remaining in that below average category. But the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, coming out of the 2018 NFL draft, were ranked or graded their class as good, right, which is, I guess, B in this grading scale, the second to best grading scale. But doing a redraft or a reevaluation of the draft class, the PFF guys have determined that the Buccaneers actually had an elite graded draft class. And of course, back in 2018, the Jets, Dallas Cowboys, and Green Bay Packers were all graded out as elite. The Jets, now in this reevaluation, coming in the below average grouping, the Dallas Cowboys coming in as the good in the good grouping, and the Green Bay Packers also coming in good. So the Cowboys and Packers dropped down a notch, while the New York Jets fell all the way near the bottom of the draft classes. Let's scroll all the way down to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers draft class. Of course, that class consisting of defensive lineman Vita Vea, running back Ronald Jones, cornerback MJ Stewart, cornerback Carlton Davis, offensive tackle at the time, right? Turns into a guard later on, Alex Kappa, safety Jordan Whitehead, wide receiver Justin Watson, and linebacker Jack Cicci. Again, then was ranked as good, now ranked as elite. And PFF wrote, quotes, "This was the draft that started general manager Jason Light's addiction to attacking the secondary, with three second-round picks, Light double-dipped at cornerback in MJ Stewart and Carlton Davis. Even though Stewart wasn't on the team Super Bowl roster this past season, that commitment to bolstering the back end helped land a key cog of their secondary in Davis. And in my opinion, the draft also netted the Buccaneers the best nose tackle in the NFL when healthy in Vita Vea. Tampa Bay secured starting running back Ronald Jones, starting guard Alex Kappa, and starting safety Jordan Whitehead, too. That's a haul." End quote. Yeah, a lot of guys on that roster. I mean, really, all of them but three, right? MJ Stewart, not on the Super Bowl roster. Justin Watson on the roster, not super impactful. Jack Cicci has been battling a lot of injuries. Unfortunately, battled a lot of injuries in Wisconsin. Those problems have only plagued him continuing into his NFL career. So, you know, Jack Cicci, a guy that you love to root for, but so far it just kind of hasn't panned out. And with the addition of a guy like KJ Britt, looks like Jack Cicci's opportunities for his body to agree with his career choices are starting to run out, at least in Tampa. We'll see what happens moving forward. I wanted to look at this New York Jets draft class because, again, they were elite back then, coming in now in the reevaluation as below average. Let's do a refresher of this draft class. First round pick, quarterback Sam Darnold. Third round pick, defensive lineman Nathan Shepard. Fourth round pick, tight end Chris Herndon. Sixth round pick, cornerback Perry Nickerson. Another sixth round pick, defensive lineman Fulorunzo Fatukasi, if I'm saying that correctly. Another sixth round pick, running back Trenton Cannon out of Virginia State. Back then was considered elite, now below average, writing, quote, so much promise but so little production. The Jets secured PFF favorites Sam Darnold, Nathan Shepard, Perry Nickerson, and Fulorunzo Fatukasi, but only Fatukasi played well in 2020, headlined by an 86.2 run defense grade. We still have hope for Shepard, though, as he inexplicably fell off in 2020 after a 71.3 overall grade in 2019. So apparently Shepard and that defensive lineman in the sixth round, the only picks that potentially might pan out here for the New York Jets out of that draft class. Of course, Sam Darnold no longer even with the organization there in New York, now playing in the NFC South with the Tampa Bay Buccaneer rival Carolina Panthers. And that is how we're going to wrap up this first segment of today's episode. When we come back, we're going to talk golf, we're going to talk roster moves and more, and we're going to do so thanks to our friends over at rockauto.com, who remind you that with the ever increasing numbers of makes and models of vehicles, it's now impossible to stock all the parts you're going to need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless and seemingly intimidating questions and wait while the counter man orders the parts on his computer, choosing only the brand his warehouse happens to carry? Furthermore, those chain store auto parts stores give discounts to mechanics and garages while they jack up the prices on part-timers or do-it-yourselfers like you and me. Chain stores have those different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers, but rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody, and they're reliably low. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck, right locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. More from the Locked On Bucks podcast coming in segment two. Back now for segment two of the Locked On Bucks podcast here on a Thursday. David Harrison flying with you solo. James Jarko is off for today's episode. Find me, of course, on Twitter at DHarrison82. Find James at JJarko_Bucks. Find the show at Locked On Bucks, and we're talking golf. I know this is a football podcast, but we're going to talk a little bit of golf because what the quarterback does for your team matters, and the quarterback for this team is teaming up once again with Phil Mickelson to play a round of golf, this time against 2020 NFL MVP Aaron Rodgers and Bryce DeChambeau, if I'm saying that correctly. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I'm not a golf fan. I don't watch golf. I don't play golf. I've putt-putt from time to time. I am not a golf aficionado, so I apologize if I'm not as excited about this as some people are, including my co-host James Jarko, who apparently is very excited about this. Turner Sports announcing that they are going to present Capital One's The Match. That is what it's being called, kind of like The Game, right, from Ohio State and Michigan, featuring Phil Mickelson, Tom Brady going up against Bo DeChambeau, which apparently some people don't like him, including Bucks Nation's own Bailey Adams. I don't know if that's public knowledge, if it is, or if it's not. Sorry, Bailey, it is now. And Aaron Rodgers, who plenty of people apparently don't really like. James Jarko wrote this up for BucksNation.com. Here's a little bit of what he had to write. Quote, "The match is back," with an exclamation point. So there you go. James is very excited. "Although we won't get the humorous one-liners of Peyton Manning or the mystique that is Tiger Woods, Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback Tom Brady is once again teaming up with his friend Phil Mickelson, who just became the oldest player to ever win a PGA major last weekend. On July 6th, the two will team up to face 2020 U.S. Open champion Bryce DeChambeau and reigning NFL MVP Aaron Rodgers, who has been the topic of trade speculations for months ever since his postgame press conference following the NFC Championship loss to Brady's Buccaneers," end quote. And of course, Tom Brady lighting it up on social media the way that he has done ever since he joined the Buccaneers. Again, I don't remember him doing this with the New England Patriots. Maybe I just wasn't paying attention. But Tom Brady's social game with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, especially this offseason, has been absolutely amazing. A series of tweets, really, that Tom Brady kind of sent out. One of them, Tom tweeted, "Two old guys against the young Bucks. Bo DeChambeau better get used to laying up because we know Aaron Rodgers isn't going for it. That's a bazinga. For those of you who aren't catching on, of course, the Green Bay Packers had the opportunity to either go for a late touchdown in the NFC Championship game or kick a field goal and then try the onside kick. They didn't onside kick either way. The Green Bay Packers ultimately went for the field goal try, got the field goal try, they ended up losing the game. Aaron Rodgers wanted to go for the touchdown there. You kind of have the post-game press conference where Aaron was asked about it, said it wasn't his decision, so on and so forth. That was kind of the earliest wheels started turning about Aaron Rodgers being unhappy in Green Bay and not wanting to come back, and now we have this whole drama where, you know, he's reportedly not coming back once out, and we'll see what happens there. But some more jabs thrown. There was one where Tom Brady mentioned two champions, of course, alluding to his and Phil's recent championship wins, going up against a scientist and a Jeopardy host, or a part-time Jeopardy host. So a lot of jabs coming already before they even hit the links, right? I'm pretty sure that's what they call the field in golf, is the links. Again, you'll have to excuse me, not the golf enthusiast that my co-host is. But again, that match will air on TNT on Tuesday, July 6th, beginning at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, from Moonlight Basin in Big Sky, Montana. That coverage, according to James, will also include digital and social interaction with Bleacher Report and House of Highlights, according to the press conference, or the press release rather, there from Turner Sports. So big news if you want to see Tom Brady in competition, and if you enjoy competition. I enjoy competition, and honestly I might actually watch it, to be completely honest with you, just because I do enjoy competition. A little bit of conversation about whether or not we're going to credential up and roll out to Montana for it. I don't know that we will, but we'll see. I don't know. If you want us to be, if you want Locked On Bucks live at this match in Big Sky, Montana, let us know, and we will take that into consideration, or we will take your silence into consideration as well. But either way, Tom Brady teaming up with another champion, going up against a guy that apparently hasn't won any championships in golf. Well, he won the U.S. Open. I don't know if that's a championship in golf. I don't really know how that works, but he won something. And then Aaron Rodgers has won a Super Bowl, but it's been a really long time in NFL days, so a little bit going on there. Getting back to football, though, now here on the Locked On Bucks podcast, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers making some roster moves, and no, I'm not just talking about Antonio Brown. Obviously, the return of Antonio Brown being made official brought the Buccaneers roster up to 89, and if you were following us last week, James and I had this conversation about the Buccaneers roster, talking about how they had 88 at the time. Antonio Brown, once he became official, would make number 89, which meant that there was a door open for a number 90. The draft is already gone, so that's not happening. So obviously you're going to fill that 90th spot through free agency. So we kind of laid down our preferences, some guys that we would like to see the Buccaneers go after to add to the roster to fill that 90th spot. James stealing Malik Hooker from me, so I went with Dede Westbrook for the speed, for the return game opportunity, and then the connection between he and Leonard Fournette from their Jacksonville Jaguars days. We had a Bucs Nation caller, a Bucs fan call in and present the opportunity or the potential of Bashaud Breeland, a cornerback who I really liked before the Buccaneers kind of discovered this young secondary that they had that helped them win the Super Bowl. The Buccaneers did add a free agent to flesh out their 90-man roster, but it was none of those names. And it really wasn't a name that a whole lot of people know. On Tuesday, along with signing Antonio Brown, making that official, they also brought in veteran cornerback D. Delaney, who was suited up and playing during the OTAs on Tuesday. So not only did he sign, but he got on the field for his new team. Delaney has some NFL experience playing in the regular season previous to this with the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Washington football team. Also spent some time with the Miami Dolphins and the New York Jets, either in training camp or practice squads. Didn't step on the field in a regular season game for either of those teams. D. Delaney originally went to college at, I want to say, the Citadel before going to the Miami Hurricanes program. Came out of the Miami Hurricanes program in 2018 as an undrafted free agent. Did not play for anybody in 2020. And now the Buccaneers roster is at 90. So the coaching staff can focus on the players participating in OTAs as they get ready to ramp up for a training camp. Something interesting from the OTAs, Tanner Hudson playing there, saying that just kind of felt like it was the right place for him to be to work on his skill. And that's really, really big for him because you got O.J. Howard coming back. Obviously, Rob Gronkowski not going anywhere. Cam Brate, a critical part of this roster. James and I have spoken saying that we could see the Buccaneers taking four tight ends. There is some competition there, though. So Tanner Hudson coming in for OTAs working with his new teammates, working with some of his existing teammates, showing the coaches he's been working out, staying healthy, newly engaged Tanner Hudson. So congratulations to him and his fiance. And then Carmen Vitale, staff writer, Buccaneers.com, tweeting out that the Griffin, Ryan Griffin, Hudson connection alive and well out there, quote unquote, according to Carmen's tweet during the OTA session. Of course, Ryan Griffin also out there slinging the football around there. His future very, very much in question with the return of Blaine Gabbert, the drafting of Kyle Trask as well. Nobody expecting the Buccaneers to take four quarterbacks into the regular season, but hey, I mean, never say never, right? So it feels, I sent out a tweet, I even wrote it in the article I wrote for BucksNation.com, guys. It feels like the Buccaneers were just playing football, and really, it's because they were. I mean, 3 months ago, basically, this team was still playing football, and here we are again, OTAs, rookie minicamp already in the books, and now OTAs getting underway, and training camp is just right around the corner. We do have that painfully quiet time period there from like mid-June to mid-July, where it basically seems like nothing happens, and we're writing articles about Ndamukong Suh vacation photos. I remember, I think it wasn't last year, I think it was the year before, he was like out, you know, I can't remember where he was, but there was like elephant photos and everything else. And look, hey, we got to keep up with what's coming up. So that is what it is. You know, that quiet period is going to be coming, unfortunately for us, but you guys, never fear, we're going to be here to keep you up to date on everything going on, and we'd rather have those stories, right? Vacation photos and elephants and all that stuff than suspensions and other things like that, right? I think we can all agree on that one. That's going to wrap up our segment two here, guys. We've got one more segment coming. We do have some things to talk about that are actually happening, so we're not to vacation photos just yet, so bear with me. We've got some rule changes coming and a 2022 salary cap preview right here at the Locked On Bucks podcast coming up in segment three. That, of course, brought to you in part by our friends over at betonline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Hockey playoffs going on. Not for me, who lives in the DMV. Washington Capitals out of the running already, but the Tampa Bay Lightning right in the thick of things, of course, as we expected them to be. NBA playoffs also going on. You've got UFC, MMA action. Before the next puck drops, head over to betonline.ag on your laptop or your mobile device. Check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get in the game as teams prepare for their runs in the playoffs. Head to the website, sign up today, and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit using the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook expert. Segment three of the Locked On Bucks podcast coming up. Back now for the final segment here at the Locked On Bucks podcast on this Thursday. David Harrison flying solo on Twitter at dharrison82. Find my co-host James Jarko at jarko_bucks. Find the show at Locked On Bucks. Also dropping on Wednesday, some rule changes. Well, a rule change from the National Football League, and also a change to the way that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and all NFL teams will have to manage their rosters. And we're going to start right there. We all know the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and every other NFL team taking 90 players into training camp once again, but what's changing, or rather reverting, is the way they're going to get from 90 to 53. Now, over the past few years, the NFL has allowed teams to carry all 90 men, if they so chose to the very end of the preseason, making their final cuts about 2 weeks before the start of the regular season, after the final preseason game was done, but not so much this year. According to a tweet that came out from NFL Network's Tom Pelissero, the NFL owners approved on Wednesday the 90-man roster starting a training camp this year, with cuts happening on August 17th, August 24th, and August 31st. On August 17th, that first batch of cuts, teams will have to go from 90 to 85, so releasing five players from their rosters. On August 24th, they will have to go from 85 to 80, and then they'll have to go from 80 to 53 on August 31st. Of course, they don't have to carry that many. They can trim it down faster if they so choose to do so. Bruce Arians, like James Jarko mentioned on yesterday's episode, mentioning there's only about five of those 53 roster spots open, so about 48 spots, 48 jobs, basically, for your Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers, basically spoken for already. So good luck to all of you out there competing for these roster spots. I truly mean that, even though I kind of say it in jest, but I really do mean it. But the Buccaneers, as well as every other NFL team, will not be allowed to carry that full 90-man roster through the preseason. Instead, they will have to make some cuts maybe a little earlier than they had initially expected. And honestly, guys, at first when I saw that this change was coming, or this reversal back to the way that it was before it came, I didn't like it. I like the 90-man roster sticking through preseason, through training camp and all that stuff. I really enjoyed it. I thought that it gave those younger, undeveloped guys a more of an opportunity to kind of show what they have, show the coaching staffs what kind of value they can bring to their organization. and it also helped teams protect their veteran players. You don't have to play as many veteran players if you have 90 guys out there to choose from. You can let your Tom Brady's sit on the sideline. But then I kind of looked at the breakdown, and, you know, again, going, you know, cutting five players on August 17th, cutting five more August 24th, and in reality, you're only running from 90 to 80 through the final, you know, preseason stretch, and you have 80 players. I mean, 80 players on the roster is not going to force the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to start Tom Brady in that final preseason game if they don't want to. If anything, what it's going to do is give them the opportunity to have Ryan Griffin roll out there and maybe show some stuff, and maybe they can flip him, trade him for a six-round pick or something instead of just straight up releasing him. You know, it's going to be tough to see Ryan Griffin go. I think everybody has a little bit of an affinity for Ryan, but I really think that's probably the end game here. But if he can get in there for those three games, or at least parts of those three games, kind of show some stuff, show some talent, show some other NFL teams that he's worth putting on their roster as a backup, then maybe the Buccaneers can get some draft capital out of it and Ryan can go to a better situation. So really, at the end of the day, not a whole lot of negativity here. Initially, like I said, I didn't really like it, but you're still going to have plenty of time. And in some cases, honestly, it could actually be addition by subtraction, because if out of the 90 players you have, if you kind of already know there's five guys that show up to camp and you're saying, like, yeah, you're kind of just here because we, you know, you're really fast and we want to see what you could do, but you really don't have a whole lot of game. Let's go ahead and let you go, let you get back to your life, or go find another team that wants to give you a chance, and we'll focus in on the 85 or the 80 guys that we know have a shot at making this roster. So really, if anything, lessening kind of the classroom, right? You're kind of thinning the classroom a little bit, letting the coaches really kind of focus on instructing, teaching, and molding the 80 or 85 guys that are left there to see who the best 53 are, and then, of course, fleshing out your practice squad after that. So, you know, initially, not happy about it, but once I kind of read through it and really came to grips with it, not a whole lot to complain about there, just more informational. But then there is a playing rule change, and that playing rule change coming to the blocking below the waist rule, which previous to this edition of changes only applied on kicks and changes of possession. Basically, the blocking below the waist rule, blocks below the waist are prohibited in those situations by either team after a change of position, by players on the kicking team after a free kick, safety kick, fair catch, kick, punt, field goal attempt, or try, or by players of the receiving team during a down in which there's a free kick, safety kick, fair catch, kick, punt, field goal attempt, or try. Well, what they've done, what the NFL did, they've added the fact that it applies now to every play. So they also added in that blocking below the waist is prohibited by players of either team during a scrimmage down prior to a change of possession unless the contact occurs in the tight end box. Note, players are prohibited from initiating contact below the waist of an opponent outside the tight end box except against a runner or a player who is attempting to catch a forward or backward pass. So what that means is inside the tight end box, blocks below, you know, the waist, initiating contact below the waist, all that stuff, you're good to go. Now, you still have the illegal combo blocks and chop blocks and all that stuff, but generally speaking, blocking below the waist, so you see running backs, right? You got a linebacker screaming in. What do running backs do? They typically go low after the ankles or the knees, try to get that defender up in the air, off the ground, and keep them off of their quarterback. All that's still legal. What you're talking about is outside of the tight end box, and that's different from tackle box. So the tight end box, right, is bigger than the tackle box. So the tackle box, for those who don't know, is the area between the outside edges of the normal tackle positions extending from 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage on the offensive team's end of the line. After the ball leaves the tackle box, this area no longer exists. So 3 yards from the line of scrimmage, from tackle to tackle, where they would normally line up, that is your tackle box. And previously, that is where below-the-waist blocking was allowed. Outside of that, no go. Well, now it's been extended to outside the tight end box. So the tight end box, per the rule change from the NFL, is defined as, quote, an area that is between 2 yards outside the normal tackle positions and extends 5 yards on either side of the line of scrimmage. So you have, basically, if you line up Rob Gronkowski in line, that is your tight end box from left to right, right? You have your tackles and you have your tight ends. And then 5 yards on either side. So 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage, 5 yards on the defensive side of the line of scrimmage. Make that, you know, imaginary box. That is your tight end box. That is where below the waist contact is allowed to be initiated. That is where below the waist blocking is allowed to occur. Again, you still have the illegal combo blocks, chop blocks, all that stuff that you're not allowed to do. But other than that, the below the block or below the waist blocking is allowed to happen. Once you get now, once the ball, right, and that's what it specifies. So once the ball leaves that box no longer exists. And if you're a ball carrier outside that box, defenders can go low on you. If you're a receiver trying to receive the ball, you know, defenders can go low on you, stuff like that. So not getting rid of low hits altogether and all that stuff, just trying to basically mitigate it as much as possible. No downfield below the waist blocking will happen, at least in the initial setup of plays. I've got something coming for BucksNation.com written up on that as well. And then finally, guys, before we get out of here, some 2022 salary cap news coming out on Wednesday. I saw it first from Dan Graziano of ESPN. I don't know if anybody had it before him. So if they did, I apologize. Dan is just the first person I saw come out with. He sent a tweet saying, per source, the NFL and the NFLPA have agreed to a salary cap ceiling of $208.2 million for the 2022 season. If it gets there, that would be a 14% increase over the 2021 cap of $182.5 million. Now, it sounds like a whole lot, right? However, the NFL was on pace to where the NFL salary cap in 2022 would have been about $218 million. This, of course, was all before COVID. So really, the NFL, it's a huge increase. And don't get me wrong, I'm sure teams will appreciate it. But it's still about $10 million off of what they were expected and kind of anticipated to reach for the 2022 season. But still, a $208.2 million salary cap for the 2022 Tampa Bay Buccaneers would really help the team out as they try to rebuild and refresh or reload their roster for a third Super Bowl run. Right now, SpotTrack has the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at just under $184 million already committed for the 2022 salary cap, which leaves them about $24.5 million. With that $24.5 million, if that's where the number stays, some important free agents that should be, that will be coming up for negotiations are guys like Jason Pierre-Paul, Ryan Jensen, and Dominican Sue, once again, Rob Gronkowski, William Golston, Leonard Fournette, Antonio Brown, O.J. Howard, Ronald Jones, and of course, right, the biggest one of them all, I think, Chris Godwin, wide receiver playing this year on the franchise tag. Obviously, that number is going, or that franchise tag is going to expire. So the Buccaneers, with a little bit of money, right, $24.5 million, but some very big spots. You expect Jason Pierre-Paul maybe not getting a new deal. You know, Joe Tryon being brought in, Anthony Nelson playing behind him, Ryan Jensen. You never know. You look at the addition of Robert Hainsey. I don't imagine Tom Brady wants to play what could be his last season in the NFL with a first-year starting center in Robert Hainsey, but crazier things have happened in Dominican Sue. I mean, he could be retiring. He could not be retiring. Rob Gronkowski's basically already said he's playing year to year, and he'll play it as they go there. William Golston, maybe a little bit more affordable. Leonard Fournette, I don't expect to be back. Antonio Brown, we'll also have to see. O.J. Howard, I mean, yeah, it's a nice list of free agents that the Buccaneers are facing next year. So some good problems to have when you have a lot of talent on your team that you're trying to re-secure. I don't know how likely it is that all of them will be back, you know, for a second straight season. But we will see. Once somebody once told me the salary cap is a figment of all of our imaginations, but this episode has not been a figment of your imagination, but it is coming to a close. Again, I've been David Harrison on Twitter at dharrison82. My co-host James Yarko at jyarko_bucks. This is the Locked On Bucks podcast on Twitter at Locked On Bucks. If you want to be a part of the show, we want you to be a part of the show. Call us at 813-444-5841. Leave us your takes, your questions, whatever you want to say to us in the voicemail line there. We'll get it on a future episode. If you're not comfortable on the phone, email us at lockedonbuckspodcast@gmail.com. James and I will be back tomorrow to wrap up the week for you here at the Locked On Bucks podcast. Until we speak again, if you're out about, please be safe and kind to one another. Thank you for joining me right here at Locked On Bucks.